martyr right now. Asking you not to take whatever self-confidence I might have had left. Asking you not to make a person who already feels unsafe in the world feel somehow less safe than before. I hate you now. I call a friend who says the same thoughts ran through her head when it happened to her, wishing this world was safe to breathe in. I hate you more knowing that because I was afraid, because I knew what part I played, and I know that you're talking to some other woman, some other girl, who I hope is much more careful than I was, but sometimes it doesn't matter what a woman does. Wishing I could get the feeling of you off of me without having to take another shower, since that requires looking at my body, which I would rather never see again. I think of all the women in the world who feel the way I do every day, and thank you for your contribution to our collective fear. And I wonder what goes through a mind like yours when you hear it. What makes a human being ignore someone else's plea? Stop. And maybe you are the one who disassociates more than I do. If you are that disconnected from the rest of the planet, maybe you need some therapy more than you needed a piece of meat. Maybe you should take some psychiatric drugs for a few dozen years. Perhaps it would help. Probably not. I wish I could forget you.
It's an ad hoc group with a sex positive feminist statement. Ready to go?
Open.
Woohoo! Way to go. Alright. Alright, I'd like to thank the goddess for the rain. Woohoo! Sorry, that was me. Alright, next, next I'd like to introduce Ariel Clemency. Who's a self-defense instructor, a student, a community volunteer, and a sexual health educator who has lived in Champaign since 2002. She enjoys helping women to find the unique power within their voices through self-defense instruction. She is also the editor of the Women's Self-Defense Zine, Stories and Struggles of Survival. Survival. There you go. Here she is. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
I'm here to say that sexual assault is never, ever the survivor's fault. Not under any circumstances, ever. Yet, as women, we're trained to feel like assault is solely our responsibility. But it's more than a woman's issue, it's a community issue. And that's why it's so amazing to see all of you out here tonight, a community standing up and saying no more violence against women. Okay. I'm a survivor of violence myself, and one of the things that helped me to take back a sense of autonomy over my body and get in touch with my own power was taking a feminist self-defense class. And one of the things that made me feel most empowered in that class was having the opportunity to hear the own power within my voice, and in particular in my yell. So I wanted to do an exercise to get everybody to feel the power within their own voices and their own yell. So I'm going to be leading us through a really quick exercise to get you yelling. So I want everybody to put at least one hand on your lower belly, right down here. If you're a woman, this would be like right around where your ovaries are, if you got some ovaries. So you can call the ovarian yell. And I want you to take a really, really deep breath into the bottom of your stomach. And if you're breathing deeply enough, you'll feel your hand kind of, you'll feel your stomach kind of press against your hand. If you're just breathing up into your lungs, like, too high, then you'll feel your shoulders lift up. That's not what you want to feel. You want to feel, like, really, breathe, like, really, really deeply. And the idea behind it is that the deeper you breathe, the louder and longer you can yell without hurting your vocal cords. And yelling is really fun in general. It gets your adrenaline flowing. It's a really great self-defense technique, and it keeps you warm, but it's also a really great thing to do at marches like this. So I want everybody to be yelling really loud tonight and be yelling for in support of all of the women that are here and all of the women in our community that are survivors. So, who wants to tell us something that we should yell as a group? Take Back a Night speech
memory of her cousin. So without further ado,
I don't know the answer to this, but I do know.
prescription is a special dose of ordinary birth control pills they have taken within several days after unprotected intercourse if contraception fails, or if a woman is a victim of sexual assault or incest, can prevent unintended pregnancy. But right now, and because it only works within a few days after unprotected intercourse, it's very important to get emergency contraception immediately. And because of the healthcare policies in this country, this is often very, very difficult for women to do because may have been assaulted at a time when the doctor's office is not open, or maybe a victim of incest whose parents go to the same doctor. So it's very important for women not to have to go to the doctor and spend money to get emergency contraception, a prescription for that. So what we're fighting to do is to get EC available at the pharmacy without a prescription, and to get it available over the counter. So we're working here in this community for state national policies to make this happen. And next week we're having a meeting at Thursday at 5 o'clock at the Illinois Disciples Foundation, kicking off the campaign for access to emergency contraception. And we have leaflets here, and we'd love for everybody here to be involved. Thank you. Experiences
never liberated women of color and third world women. Only we can liberate ourselves. Woo! The war of terror increases sexual assault and rape against us. Militaries have always sexually assaulted and raped women of color and third world women under attack as part of their war and colonization strategy. Rapes were documented in 22 countries that suffered military invasions in the 1990s. We are also aware of sexual assault of women of color and immigrant third world women connected to border control and resultant imprisonment. This culture of violence promoted by the military is reproduced in the domestic sphere. Men in the military are 2 to 3 times more likely to be abusive to their partners. The Mouse Foundation, an advocacy group for military victims of domestic violence, reports that rates of abuse are 2 to 5 times higher in military homes. Insight points out that women of color are disproportionately affected because people of color make up a larger part of the military than the general population. Miriam Ching Lui echoes a similar analysis of the connections between the military and domestic violence. She declares, "Sisters, this is the Bush-Cheney doublespeak where the old boys club has the gall and balls to brag about defending women while they drop bombs on our sisters in Afghanistan and Iraq, arm the killers of women and children in Palestine, and hold knives to our throats at home. War Times reports that 4 women were brutally killed at Fort Bragg by Fort Bragg personnel within weeks of each other, summer 2002. It's notable that these deaths occurred after soldiers returned home from serving in Afghanistan. Pentagon officials revealed to a Senate hearing that service women have filed 112 reports of sexual misconduct by U.S. troops between late 2001 and early 2003 in the Central Command area, including Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The different posts which uncovered the scandal reports, women who were raped while serving in the military say they were isolated and blamed for the attacks, while the system they turned to for help has treated the men that assaulted them much more humanely." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Adding to this outrageous situation, about 24 women at Shepherd Air Force Base, Texas, have reported to a local rape crisis center that they were assaulted in 2002. Finally, senators have been informed that 68 reports have been claimed as of sexual assault, many of these from service women in Iraq and Kuwait. We are serious about stopping rape of our mothers, sisters, daughters, friends, and other members of our community. And we must address the culture of violence that is promoted by our military-industrial complex, the police, and the state war generally. No more war! We demand peace!
No more war! We demand peace!
Get up and try it! Try it!
take back the 9th of March for only women and transgender people, so the men are going to have a little bit of men's space. So if we could find Ross, or somebody from Bathurst to tell us where you're all going to be in this lovely weather.
During the march, the men are going to go to the Y, and we're going to be up. Well, we're just all going to walk over there together. But while we're there, we're going to talk about what it is that we can do to what our role is in stopping this and making sure that this doesn't happen any longer. So, yeah.
Woo! Woo!
Thanks, Ross. And that's
it.
Last thing is have a good time. So let's hear one more rally cry. Ready? On the count of three. One.
Basically,
broadcast from an event like this or an event that we organized. So it's actually, I thought it would calm down after the opening a week ago, and it just really hasn't. At this point, I'm way behind in archiving all of the broadcasts, like 5 years behind. Zach just cleaned up the IMC computer, so I should be able to do the audio. But I was like 2 days, like, pulling my hair out to clean up the broadcast.
Oh, so you can put the MP3s?
Yes.
You haven't put any of those up yet?
I put two of them up. The software that I have won't edit MP3s. It'll only edit waves or AIFX.
Which is really
started.
Thank you.